I'm Dan Revez, and you're listening to the MDHS Student Life Podcast. Throughout this series, we've been exploring the misconceptions, realities, and developments of different pathways in STEM careers. In the last episode, we talked with Georgia Caruana, a PhD student at the university in the Department of Psychiatry. In today's episode, we're talking to Joseph, who's completing a Master of Science in Epidemiology, and Kimberly, who's a final year Doctor of Physiotherapy student, to find out more about how they selected their course and their motivations for becoming healthcare practitioners.
So my name is Joseph Nati, and I'm doing my Master of Science in Epidemiology at the Melbourne School of Population and Global Health. So I actually came on a scholarship, which is the Australia Award Scholarship, and I'm an international student from Ghana.
Thanks, Joseph. I'm Kimberly. I'm currently in my final year of the Doctor of Physiotherapy, following my undergrad in biomedicine here at the University of Melbourne. And I too am an international student from Malaysia.
So for both of you, Kimberly, you studied biomed here. Joseph, could you go into a little bit about which course you studied at undergraduate level? And then for both of you, how you chose which course you're doing at the moment, how you selected it?
Oh, okay. So for me, in my undergraduate level, I studied BSc chemistry with a concentration on clinical chemistry. So after that, I worked in pathology as in the clinical biochemistry department. So, and I worked for quite a number of years, maybe about 5 years. And so I basically worked in that field, and my work centered around diagnosis. And, you know, based in Africa, do a lot of infectious diseases, HIV, tuberculosis, in addition to malaria and all other kinds of diseases and stuff like that. So initially I was thinking of doing my master's in immunology or something like that. But then I had a chance to do a short course on epidemiology. That is, it was an online on Coursera. So I started finding that very interesting. And during the 2013 to 2015 Ebola outbreak in West Africa, although there wasn't an outbreak in my country, but everybody had to prepare. So as part of capacity building, I was selected to be one of few people to be trained on training of trainers on infection prevention and control within the hospital setting. So through that, I went on to train. We went on to train over 2,000 health personnel, you know, all cadre of health personnel, from being clinical staff to non-clinical staff on infection prevention within the hospital setup. Because during that outbreak, close to about 2,000 health personnel died through the Ebola virus disease outbreak because of hospital acquired infections. So then after that, the CDC enrolled out this program on epidemiology at its frontline, and it was also based to be able to build capacity for people. So I was lucky, I got selected to train for that program, which was a 3-month training program. So what it does is it basically trains you on the basic epidemiological principles, outbreak investigation, stuff like that, from the regional level to the district level. And I started working from a regional hospital, and then I moved down to a district hospital. And, you know, working in the district hospital, taking care of children under 5, pregnant women, and, you know, trying all these diagnoses and stuff like that. So, yeah, so my interest from epidemiology started growing from there. So when I had a chance to apply for the scholarship, I just chose epidemiology. And if for nothing at all, what COVID is doing right now, also chose a bigger light on what epidemiology is all about. And I felt that when I was working in the clinical setup, a lot more effort needs to be put in preventive measures than curative measures. Because if we can prevent the disease from happening in the population, from happening, you know, out there, then people wouldn't even get sick for them to come to the hospital, so that you input all these preventive curative measures. So I felt like, yeah, I mean, with epidemiology, your interventions are always targeted at the population. So if you implement one policy or if you implement one measure, you are saving lives, dozens, hundreds or thousands of lives, you know, rather than being at a clinical sector where you only attend to one patient at a time. So yeah, so even as I'm studying epidemiology right now over here, my interest is very much more tailored towards infectious diseases, but I also have great interest in non-communicable diseases as well.
Thank you for that. That was quite an inspiring story about how you moved across as well and found the motivation and the passion there as well. What was the transition for you like, Kim?
For me, it was definitely different being in a different city, different country altogether with pretty foreign culture. But being in Melbourne, there's a lot of other fellow internationals here. And I initially came over and started my foundation studies at Trinity College, which was only meant for international students. So it's much easier to transition, I guess. In terms of transitioning from biomed to physio, I decided on physio because mainly based on my passion and interest in anatomy and physiology. I majored in human structure and function in biomed, and I just really loved learning the intricacies of the human body. Also, as a profession, I find physio be something really practical and hands-on, which is something that I've always wanted to do. As a physio, I think we could make a huge impact on people's lives, and we might not be playing a huge role in saving lives per se, but I think we can do a lot to change and improve the quality of lives. And in terms of the doctor of physiotherapy here in Melbourne, you know, being taught by top class researchers and clinicians and offered clinical placements in major tertiary hospitals like Royal Melbourne, St. Vincent's, I think it's just a really good opportunity overall.
Thank you for that, Kimberly. I guess a common theme amongst the both of you is that it's a mix of practical usefulness as well as passion for whatever you're studying. If you could sum up in a couple of sentences, what do you think are like the main challenges of your course?
For me, epidemiology is quite a progressive discipline. At any point in time, it always requires you to be able to think and think not only about one person, but at any point in time, you are thinking always about the population, what is going to happen to people and stuff like that. So in that way, I mean, you put yourself out there and then you always have that challenge that what is it that I can contribute that will be meaningful to improve people's quality of life, you know, not even, you know, in single people, but at a population level. And of course, I mean, it's quite an intensive course too. I mean, because it takes a lot of hard work, you know, there's a lot of statistics in the subject. And if you're not so much vested in that aspect of the subject, then you might find yourself wanting. But for me, I think, although it is a challenge, but my level of inquisitiveness or curiosity always pushes me to, I mean, look out for the things that really challenges my understanding and then go after those things and trying to find out more about them. So, yeah, I mean, I found some of those as a bit challenging, but at the same time, I've tried to use them to my advantage based on my curiosity.
For me, I think the main challenge would be managing my schedule. Like Joseph has said, physio is also a pretty full-on course, and trying to maintain that work life or study life balance gets really challenging at times if you're in uni Monday to Friday, like 9 to 3 or 4. And being a graduate program, there are expectations of doing more independent study and like personal development compared to undergrad. So I guess that was a pretty huge challenge. But in more recent times, I found the transition to online learning quite challenging because it's pretty hard for me to fully hone in on my practical skills through Zoom and watching online videos because I'm pretty much a hands-on person. And so not having that experience kind of makes learning a little bit harder, but we're expecting a gradual return to campus next sem, which I'm looking forward to.
So for you, Joseph, you talked a little bit about first being inspired to study epidemiology, and you talked a little bit about starting your studies online. A question for both of you, though, would be whether there's any particular event or any particular people that have inspired you to select the course that you're currently doing.
Okay, so for me, one thing that really inspired me to go into epidemiology more was the events of the Ebola, you know, virus disease outbreak that happened in West Africa. And I was watching television during the time and I saw how the World Health Organization and the CDC mobilized epidemiologists and all other health professionals across the world, and then flew them all the way to Liberia, Guinea and Sierra Leone just to, you know, train people and provide that technical assistance to the people that are affected. And, you know, the epidemiologist always going out there when everybody is, you know, running away from the disease, they are running head on to the disease, trying to arrest it. And, you know, I felt like it was quite very intriguing for me. And I felt like, oh, yes, this is what I want to be part of this. I want to be part of something that is out there that is, you know, going to, the little effort that you put in is going to be very much meaningful. And like it's happening right now. I mean, look at what the health personnel are doing just to make sure everybody is safe when everybody has been asked to stay at home and, you know, not go out there. They are the ones out there who are, you know, going after people who have been exposed and trying to identify contacts of people who already have been diagnosed with the disease, you know. And so it's quite intriguing, although people might find it quite scary that, why would you want to go out there, you know? But then for me, those were the things that actually inspired me. And those are the reasons why. I mean, epidemiology is huge. There are so many fields, you know, different fields that you can branch into epidemiology. But for me, infectious diseases, you know, is quite the area where my interest lies, especially when during an outbreak, you have to go out there and conduct all of those outbreak investigations and stuff like that. Yeah.
With regards to the current situation and the pandemic as well, it has also inspired me in recent times, knowing that physios have had to step up in, especially in like the ICU and just getting people back home and out of the hospitals as soon as possible. But prior to enrolling in the course, I never had to see a physio for myself, but my mom tore her ACL and another family member had lung surgery, both requiring physio rehab. And so I had the opportunity to witness their recovery and the impact that physio could make in their journey and their overall well-being. And I also may have watched a few movies where physios help amputees learn how to walk again. I thought that was kind of cool.
Thank you, Joseph and Kimberly. Just to sort of close off this session, in Melbourne University, as well as in many universities, there are tons of postgraduate courses. I guess there are easily more than 100 postgraduate courses that students can do, and it can be a bit overwhelming for undergraduates. Just based on your own personal experiences or perhaps advice that you have heard from other people, what sort of advice could you give to current students deciding on their postgraduate courses?
I would say that first of all, you need to have that personal empathy that you want to contribute something meaningful to provide quality of life to other people. And so that is all epidemiology is about. So if you have that in you and you think you want to be able to contribute something on a huge scale, then epidemiology offers you that opportunity because all your interventions are mostly based at the population level. And so also what I would say to students who like to consider epidemiology is that it gives you a kind of skill to be able to look at things differently and think about situations or occurrences differently. And so it provides you the best basis or the opportunity to be able to go on and be part of a huge global team that is, you know, making meaningful contributions to people. And I'm making sure that we have working towards a world without diseases, you know, because that is a primary goal of every epidemiologist. So if you have that to think, if you have that in you, that you want to be part of such a team or an endeavor to contribute to a world without diseases, then epidemiology will provide you that opportunity. And while it takes a lot of hard work, you know, comes with a lot of biostatistics and a whole lot, but then in the end it pays off, because whatever you do, you know that you are making huge contributions, you know. But these days we are talking about cancer, we're talking about all other non-communicable diseases and communicable diseases, and then now even climate change and all the disaster that has come or is bringing. I mean, you know that you'll be able to make a huge impact, you know. So yeah, I think that is quite good to be able to consider yourself to be part of such a team.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joseph. Like, it's important to know what you're passionate about and what you want to pursue. I would say for students who are still not sure on what they want to do, just do research and learn about the experiences of current students, like through this podcast. Make sure that the course and the career prospects are ones that align with your values, your personality, because, you know, being passionate about something makes the journey that much easier, more enjoyable, and just more meaningful to yourself. So, no, don't rush into it. It's an important decision. But I've got friends who, you know, they were doing well in the course and changed their mind after a year, deciding that physio was not for them, and that's completely fine as well. As for deciding on physio, I think from my personal experience, I had the opportunity to help this lady who, you know, she had a stroke and she couldn't walk for 2 weeks, and I helped her take her first steps, and that was one of the most rewarding experiences for me. And if you're into that, then consider physio.
A very good advertisement for the program. They can use that that situation itself just for the advertising. Sure. It was I was just gonna say, it was a great analogy by you before, Joseph, when you're talking about almost like the hurricane hunters marching into the middle of a hurricane, and that these epidemiologists going into the heart of the storm to investigate. How does it feel to be studying, in your case as well, Kimberly, a course like epidemiology or physio, where you can feel your roles really being applicable in a pandemic situation? Do you feel a bit more special about what you study?
You know, epidemiologists have always been confused with dermatologists. I mean, you know, that bone of contention has always been there. Currently, I work in the disability sector as well. So I do go around most of the DHHS residential facilities for people living with disability. And, you know, sometimes when I go and then you talk to other staff and they ask, what are you studying and stuff like that, and you tell them epidemiology, the first thing they ask is, you deal with the skin and disease, skin rashes and stuff like that. You know, so it seems to be like, always have to be educating people on what epidemiology is. Some of them, you go like epidemiology and then go like, epi what? You know, so I think this global pandemic has really thrown a lot more light on what epidemiologists and other health professionals do. And we have proven that the work of epidemiologists can not be really underrated, because right now everybody is looking out for them to try to find out. I mean, you know, in the space of epidemiology, currently a lot of studies are coming up and trying to find out the different demographic, you know, or ethnicities. Does the disease affect everybody equally? Who are the people who are most affected? Who are the people who are least affected? Stuff like that, you know. So yeah, I mean, it gives you that kind of sense of fulfillment that, yeah, eventually you are part of something that makes a great contribution, you know. And so, but I will always say, to add to the advice I would love to give to undergrad students who would love to take up these courses, they will always say that you can always achieve anything so far as you have the level of enthusiasm or interest in it. So it always begins with the enthusiasm or interest. You definitely have to have that in you. I've met a couple of students. Recently, through the peer mentoring, you know, when I talked to some of my mentees, you know, in my biomed, I came to realize that some of them have chosen biomed because they don't really know. They know they want to study something in health, and they don't really know the field they want to go. So they pick up the subject or the courses so that their options will be wide open for them. And so later, when they are able to determine where their interest lies, it will not be so difficult for them to go into that. And so I think programs like this, where we get to share our experiences for other people to learn from, will help people to be able to tailor their interest and then know what to study and what to do when the time comes for them to make those decisions.
Yeah, I definitely have to echo you on that one in terms of just spreading the awareness of the importance of other health professionals in the health of the society, really. Whereas, you know, when you ask some people what a physio does, it would probably be like, oh, they're into sports, they help you recover from injuries. We're also really well known for our massage skills. But yeah, people might be asking, what is a physio doing in the ICU? And not realizing that we do so much more. And just our contribution to this pandemic has definitely put the spotlight on our profession and other health professions as well. Definitely makes me pretty excited to go back to placements in the upcoming semester to see how things are different in the clinical world.
Yeah, we just like to thank you very much for sharing your contributions and your stories. It was absolutely great to hear from both of you. I think the future students and current students at the moment studying biomed are interested in either of those sorts of pathways. And your stories as well, we'll have a lot more information now, thanks to you guys. So thanks very much for that.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.